QST from the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. This is the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for October 20th, 2011. The Aries Audio E-Letter Report is a voice version of the Aries E-Letter, which is compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. The Aries E-Letter is available online at www.arrl.org/ares-el. Or you may listen to the audio version at www.arrl.org/ares-e-letter-audio-version. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, and my script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB. In this edition, we have for you ARRL briefs White House staff on amateur radio's capabilities during emergencies. California Hospital Aries Group poster accepted at disaster conference. Aries NTS study, ECAC submits interim report. After action reports. Aries docket. ARRL partners roundup. Letters. Red Cross closes historic Arlington, Virginia office. ARRL invites nominations for 2011 International Humanitarian Award. Nominations open for Heart Award. Why the FEMA courses? ITU, what is the Tampere Convention? Tips, QuakeNet QSO3.11. And K1CE for a final. First, ARRL briefs White House staff on amateur radio's capabilities during emergencies. On September 12th, at the invitation of White House Cybersecurity Coordinator Howard A. Schmidt, W7HAS, the ARRL briefed several members of the National Security Staff on the capabilities of the amateur radio service to communicate in emergencies. Mr. Schmidt said, "The White House is looking for ways that the great work of amateur radio operators can continue to support emergencies in the future, with particular attention to increased use and dependency on Internet-based technologies." The ARRL presentation was conducted by Emergency Preparedness Manager Mike Corey, W5MPC, along with President K. Craigie, N3KN, and Chief Executive Officer Dave Sumner, K1ZZ. The presentation focused on amateur radio's current and evolving capabilities to provide Internet messaging connectivity. California Hospital Aries Group poster accepted at disaster conference. The Hospital Disaster Support Communications System of Orange County, California, HDSCS, was honored to have its poster presentation, titled Volunteer Amateur Radio Communications in Hospital Emergencies, a Proven Resource, accepted and presented at the recent California Hospital Association Disaster Planning Conference in Sacramento. Dave West, KI6EPI, is the Disaster Coordinator for College Hospital in Costa Mesa, California, and has been involved with two other hospitals over the 31 years of HDSCS supporting facilities in Orange County. He was a major supporter of HDSCS before ever becoming an amateur radio operator in 2006. We thank April Moel, WA6OPS, Aries District Emergency Coordinator, Hospital Disaster Support Communications System in Orange County, California, for this information. Aries NTS study, ECAC, submits interim report. Aries and the National Traffic System, or NTS, exist as the ARRL's implementation of the basic principle stated in Part 97.1, Paragraph A of the FCC's rules and regulations. That is, recognition and enhancement of the value of the amateur service to the public as a voluntary, non-commercial communication service, particularly with respect to providing emergency communications. The Emergency Communications Advisory Committee, ECAC, was tasked by the ARRL Board of Directors Programs and Services Committee, or PSC, to recommend improvements to ARES and NTS so that the amateur service can better serve the public in providing emergency communications. Assigned study topics include, but are not limited to, ARES and NTS objectives and organizational structures, integration between ARES and NTS, training, certification, and credentialing, and relationships with served agencies. ECAC Chairman Dale Williams, WA8EFK, has filed an interim progress report with the PSC and reported that the panel of ECAC members from across the country, quote, began this challenging assignment immediately. He said, knowing that both ARES and NTS operations across the country are based in strong legacies, proven methodologies, and expertise, our initial effort was to capture field opinions of the current status of both organizations. Mr. Williams said, our immediate goal is to determine how ARES and NTS are viewed by those directly involved. We need to understand the good features of both groups, where we are in terms of capabilities, where we should be, what shortcomings we face, and how we can best make any needed changes. Mr. Williams reported that over a period of 60 days, we prepared survey questions to be introduced to the leadership of both groups. Using two independent teams, he said, we developed an extensive series of questions for the field organization. These were evaluated and combined to form the basis of our planned surveys. To minimize the potential for rumor and innuendo to negatively affect the surveys, we sent advanced copies to the NTS leadership for their review and to section managers for forwarding to their individual SECs for their review. This also afforded the opportunity for the field leadership to offer input and suggestions about the prepared questions and their format. We accepted the field replies and incorporated several changes to the surveys. Mr. Williams found that our initial information effort, outlined above, resulted in early feedback that indicates there may be a need for major paradigm shifts in expectations, organizational structures, and how we train the general ham population for handling traffic in an emergency. We know initially that both ARES and NTS are wildly different across the country. Some units function very well, some are quite dysfunctional. We intend to discover why the differences exist and how the best practices of the successful groups can be translated into successes for problem groups. The final version of the survey forms was accepted by the ECAC at a September 14th conference call, and the ECAC is now preparing to release the surveys to the field, NTS managers, SMs, and SECs. Mr. Williams concluded that plans call for a thorough review of the reported data, the building of a report matrix, completion of any necessary follow-up work, and then the results analysis. Our next report should contain the analysis plus an outline of the project projections. It must be emphasized that nothing has been decided and only information is being sought at this time by the ECAC, which exists solely as an advisory committee to make recommendations to the League's Board of Directors. We'll take a break now to allow repeaters to identify. After-action reports. No communication effort is complete until an after-action review, AAR, has been conducted and the after-action report drafted. The AAR is the best way for us to conduct a candid self-assessment of our performance during an event. The U.S. Agency for International Development has published an excellent guide on after-action reviews. It says that an AAR provides the following: candid insights into specific strengths and weaknesses from various perspectives, feedback and insight critical to improved performance, and details often lacking in the evaluation reports alone. The guide also describes the AAR as the basis for learning from our successes and failures. A good manager or leader does not learn in a vacuum. The people involved in an activity, those closest to it, are the ones best poised to identify the learning it offers. No one, regardless of how skilled or experienced they are, will see as much as those who actually carry out the events, program, or activity. The AAR is the keystone of the process of learning from successes and failures. Feedback compares the actual output of a process with the intended outcome. By focusing on the desired outcome and by describing specific observations, teams can identify strengths and weaknesses and together decide how to improve performance. This shared learning improves team proficiency and promotes bonding, collegiality, and group cohesion. Though not a cure-all for all issues or problems, the AAR provides a starting point for improvements to future activities. Because AAR participants actively discover what happened and why, they can learn and remember more than they would from a critique or formal evaluation. A critique only gives one viewpoint and frequently provides little opportunity for discussion of events by participants. Other observations and comments may not be encouraged. The climate of a critique, focusing only on what is wrong, often prevents candid discussion and stifles opportunities for learning and team building. In short, every participant should have input into the AAR, since everyone's experience was different during the event. One very useful format for an AAR is to ask and answer the following questions. What did we expect to happen? What actually happened? What went well and why? What can be improved? With these simple questions, we can quickly focus on what our communications plan anticipated versus the reality of what actually happened during the event, and then identify the pluses and minuses of both our plan and performance. This can all be done in a way that focuses on facts and not on personalities. If possible, a debriefing held immediately after the event can be a convenient way to get all participants' impressions while still fresh in their minds. Even if a debriefing is used, it can still be beneficial to allow for written comments within a few days after team members have had a chance to reflect on the event. It can be helpful to circulate the draft AAR for comments and suggestions before the final version is released. The AAR is useful for both the communications team as well as the event planners. Those lessons learned are invaluable for the planners and the future communication unit leaders. Remember, we can never be sure who is going to be filling those roles for future events, so we cannot simply rely on someone's recollection of what was done and how well things went in past years. Our thanks to Jim Isleward, KC8PD, EC, Portage County, Aries, Ohio, for this information. Aries Docket. This also from Jim Isleward, KC8PD. Portage County, Ohio, Aries held a Public Service Communications Basic Skills class on August 30th with more than 35 in attendance. We were very pleased with the attendance. A handout has been made available to other counties in our Aries district for their use. Copies are also available to readers at kc8pd@portcars.org. And please note, portcars is one word. And this from Joe Connell, KB5DTS, PIO, Huntsville, Walker County, Texas. On two occasions this month, Aries coordinated through the local 440 megahertz machine to have ice and water brought to the incident command of a wild land fire. I have to commend all of our first responders during this serious time. They have given maximum efforts to protect life and property locally. This applies to all of the state. ARRL Partners Roundup. First, American Red Cross, an online orientation for volunteers serving the American Red Cross, may be found at www.redcross.org. You may read a concise history of the venerable organization and get to know whom you are serving as ARES MCOM operators. FEMA. The Federal Emergency Management Agency is encouraging participation in the Great California Shakeout Earthquake Drill, October 20th, at 10:20 a.m. Pacific Time. FEMA hosted a webinar on the shakeout that helped participants understand what the shakeout is and how to participate. A recording of the webinar will be available in their webinar library at http://citizencorps.gov/news/webcasts.shtm. And please note, Citizen Corps is one word. The shakeout provides a tangible way to participate in preparedness by focusing on the potentially life-saving actions of drop, cover, and hold on during and immediately after an earthquake. The recent earthquake on the East Coast shows that earthquakes can happen practically anytime, anywhere, so FEMA is encouraging participation even if you don't live in California. To join, go to www.shakeout.org/register and pledge your family, school, business, or organization's participation in the drill. It's free to sign up. Readers may remember the Great Central U.S. Shakeout from earlier this year, where over 3 million people across 11 states practiced earthquake safety. Here's a look at the upcoming shakeout events, October 20, 2011, California, Oregon, Nevada, Guam. February 7, 2012, Central United States, including Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, and Arkansas. And April 17, 2012, Utah. For more information on shakeout earthquake drills, visit www.shakeout.org. And to learn about getting prepared for earthquakes, go to ready.gov/earthquakes. We pause now for repeaters to identify. This is the audio version of the ARRL ARES e-letter for October 20th, 2011. Now letters. Center of Activity, or COA, frequencies. Richard Webb, N5FB, chair of the NTS Central Area Staff, and a frequent net control operator on the 14.300 MHz emergency nets, writes, "Thanks for the mention of the global SET exercises in the last issue, and the Center of Activity frequencies for emergency communications. These centers of activity were established by IARU-promulgated gentlemen's agreements and are not well understood by the amateur community at large. The IARU has advocated that contesting and other such activity be curtailed on or adjacent to them. All amateurs should be aware of these frequencies and be cognizant of the fact that often stations requiring emergency assistance are not high-powered stations with great antenna systems. Often they are mobiles, portables operating from the bush with a simple wire antenna or on a sailboat. I hope readers will learn about the COA frequencies and help educate their fellow amateurs. Remember that the next person aided on one of these frequencies could be you. There are frequencies in each of the HF amateur allocations worldwide. Remember that ARRL is an IARU member, and IARU has taken the leadership in promoting this, but it needs our help to get the word out." That letter from Richard Webb, N5FB. Now, the emergency center of activity frequencies are 21360 MHz on 15 meters, 18160 MHz on 17 meters, 14,300 MHz on 20 meters, 7060 kHz on 40 meters, and 3760 kHz on 75 meters. For more information, click on www.iaru.org/emergency/coa1.html and www.rentola.fi/oh3ag/garec/frq.html. There is also a wealth of information on international emergency telecommunications on the IARU's website, www.iaru.org/emergency. ARES and National Traffic System, NTS. Alan West, WA4JD in Gainesville, Florida, writes, regarding the article ECAC Studying ARES NTS Issues, and particularly this paragraph, Williams said that there is a feeling that the last-mile relationship between traffic handlers and ARES members seems to be broken. Neither feels an affinity toward the other. NTSers in general don't join ARES, and vice versa, yet both groups have claims on abilities to handle traffic in an emergency. Fixing this may also be a goal of the committee. Mr. West says, I am not part of NTS because I don't have HF capability. My wife, KI4SBI, and I were able to pass traffic as the last mile on an NTS message once, but mostly we stick to 2 meters on the local repeaters. Our primary radios are still 5-watt handhelds, even in our vehicles. If we didn't live in a deed-restricted area, we'd have HF at the house. Since we're stuck until the housing market improves, I installed my G5RV antenna at the county EOC to give some limited HF capability there. Even at the EOC ham shack, we barely have HF because the antenna yard is too small to deploy an inverted V with widely spread legs. My thought on the ARES and NTS separation is that the connection between HF and UHF-VHF users isn't what it needs to be. That's a function of equipment costs and differing interests within the larger ham radio hobby. I'll be interested to see what suggestions arise to help bridge the local versus HF groups. It should be noted that the writer, Alan West, and his wife are active in ARES, RACES, and the CERT program through their local emergency management agency. Red Cross closes historic Arlington, Virginia office. During September, the Red Cross closed its Arlington, Virginia office. The Arlington County Amateur Radio Club had used the radio room there to support the Arlington Red Cross chapter since 1977. It was from this radio room that George Saunders, KR4MU, operating the club radio station W4WVP, maintained the only contact between the Arlington Red Cross chapter and the Red Cross response at the Pentagon during the early hours of the 9/11 terrorist attack. Thanks to James Hastings, K9AUC in Alexandria, Virginia, for this information. ARRL invites nominations for 2011 International Humanitarian Award. Nominations are open for the 2011 ARRL International Humanitarian Award. This award is conferred upon an amateur or amateurs who demonstrate devotion to human welfare, peace, and international understanding through amateur radio. The League established the annual prize to recognize those radio amateurs who have used ham radio to provide extraordinary service to others in times of crisis or disaster. As one of the few telecommunication services that allows people throughout the world from all walks of life to meet and talk with each other, amateur radio spreads goodwill across political boundaries. The ARRL International Humanitarian Award recognizes the amateur radio service's unique role in international communication and the assistance amateurs regularly provide to people in need. Nominations should include a summary of the nominee's actions that qualify the individual or individuals for this particular award, plus verifying statements from at least two people having first-hand knowledge of the events warranting the nomination. These statements may be from an official of a group that benefited from the nominee's particular amateur radio contribution. Nominations should include the names and addresses of all references. This is the audio version of the ARRL Aries E-Letter for October 20th, 2011. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN. It's time to pause again for a few seconds to allow repeater stations to identify. Now we continue the ARRL Aries audio e-letter with more news. Nominations open for Hart Award. The George Hart Distinguished Service Award, established in 2009, may be presented by the Board of Directors to the ARRL member whose service to the ARRL's field organization is of the most exemplary nature. The Distinguished Service Award is named in honor of George Hart, W1NJM, longtime communications manager at ARRL headquarters and chief developer of the National Traffic System. Selection criteria include operating record with the National Traffic System, or participation within the Amateur Radio Emergency Service, or station appointments and/or leadership positions held within the field organization. Nominations for the award shall be accepted from anyone and shall be submitted to the Membership and Volunteer Programs Manager at ARRL Headquarters by November 1st. Nominations should document the nominee's lifetime activities and achievements within the ARRL field organization. It is expected that nominated candidates will have 15 or more years of distinguished service. The Programs and Services Committee will serve as the review committee, with the Board of Directors making the final determination at its annual meeting in January. Recipients will be given an engraved plaque and cover letter, and will be profiled in QST. Nominations for the 2012 George Hart Distinguished Service Award, including any related supporting material and letters of recommendation, may be emailed to ARRL Headquarters to the attention of ARRL Membership and Volunteer Programs Manager Dave Patton, NN1N, at ARRL.net. Nominations and supporting materials must be received no later than November 1, 2011, to be considered. Why the FEMA courses? For many years, amateur radio has longed to be taken seriously by governmental authorities as a professional quality resource in disaster response. Although there are areas of the country where achieving and maintaining emergency management agencies' respect is still a struggle, amateur radio service during 9/11 and the major hurricane disasters has brought us a new level of respect and new opportunities at the national level. Being taken seriously as a resource comes with a price, however, that must be paid by individual volunteers, not in dollars, but in precious personal time. When the federal government instituted the National Incident Management System, or NIMS, it imposed a set of requirements on state and local emergency management agencies and their personnel. Affected personnel include not only paid employees of emergency management and related agencies, but also volunteers, such as those in volunteer fire companies, ARIES, and RACES. If the emergency management agencies are to continue receiving federal funds, personnel must complete a number of FEMA training courses having to do with the Incident Command System and NIMS. Individuals who do not complete the training will not be allowed to participate, even as volunteers. These FEMA courses are free of charge, available online or sometimes in person at emergency management offices, and are not particularly difficult. The courses are useful in familiarizing volunteers with the principles of the incident command system and showing where communications fits into the ICS structure. These formal requirements are here to stay, and more may follow. At the national level, amateur radio has earned the respect we always wanted, bringing us closer to the emergency management establishment. Click on training.fema.gov for the recommended courses. ITU. What is the Tampere Convention? When disaster strikes, communications links are often disrupted, yet for relief workers who arrive on the scene, these links are essential. Victims of disasters are now able to benefit from faster and more effective rescue operations, thanks to the Tampere Convention on the Provision of Telecommunication Resources for Disaster Mitigation and Relief Operations. Before the convention existed, the transborder use of telecommunication equipment by humanitarian organizations was often impeded by regulatory barriers that made it difficult to import and rapidly deploy telecommunications equipment for an emergency without prior consent of the local authorities. The treaty simplifies the use of life-saving telecommunication equipment. The Tampere Convention calls on countries to facilitate the provision of prompt telecommunication assistance to mitigate the impact of a disaster, and covers both the installation and operation of reliable, flexible telecommunication services. Regulatory barriers that impede the use of telecommunication resources are waived for disasters. These barriers include the licensing requirements to use allocated frequencies, restrictions on the import of telecommunication equipment, as well as limitations on the movement of humanitarian teams. The convention describes the procedures for the request and provision of telecommunication assistance, recognizing the right of a country to direct, control, and coordinate assistance provided under the convention within its territory. It defines the specific elements and aspects of the provision of telecommunication assistance, such as termination of assistance. It requires countries to make an inventory of the resources, both human and material, available for disaster mitigation and relief, and to develop a telecommunication action plan that identifies the steps necessary to deploy those resources. It's time to pause again for a few seconds to allow repeater stations to identify. This is the audio version of the ARRL Aries e-letter for October 20th, 2011. We continue with TIPS QuakeNet QSO 3.11. QuakeNet is in its third year of conducting emergency drills using amateur radio on 2-meter simplex. QuakeNet began with an idea at a meeting about emergency communications in September 2009 in San Diego, California. With support and volunteers from the Amateur Radio Club of El Cajon, QuakeNet began simultaneously with the first ever California shakeout in 2009. This year, QuakeNet is striving to be more valuable to more people, both amateur radio operators and anyone else interested in participating in the drill. There are three ways to participate: amateur radio 2-meter simplex and repeater, amateur radio HF, and social networking, Twitter. Click on quakenet.technotron.com/quake1. with Quake 1 typed as one word and 1 typed as the number 1. Thanks to Joseph Matterson, KI6TTF, for this submission. K1CE for a final. I am still looking for more action reports from the field, says Rick Palm, especially during the recent spate of wildfires in Texas and the Vermont Aries response to Hurricane Irene. Readers want to learn about what their colleagues did to provide emergency communications in these areas that sustained such damage and trauma. Please send me your reports to k1ce@arrl.net, and I'll do my best to see that they see the light of day here in the Aries e-letter. By the way, the Aries e-letter now has a circulation of more than 35,000 subscribers. Here's a note to all ARRL field organization officials. By providing these written and audio reports, you will also have the opportunity to give your troops on the ground some much-deserved recognition for their efforts in a major national outlet. Thanks. See you next month. 73 Rick K1CE. That's the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter version for October 20th, 2011. The Aries Audio e-letter is a monthly service of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the national organization for amateur radio. The Aries Audio e-letter is a voice version of the ARRL Aries e-letter, compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. To learn more about amateur radio, or to get the latest in amateur radio news, please visit ARRL.org on the World Wide Web. Our thanks to this month's contributors. My script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB. Thanks for listening, and 73. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN. Copyright 2011 ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. All rights reserved.